Welcome to Angel Talk Radio Live with your hosts, Jim and Sandy Young. Welcome, everyone. I am Reverend Sandy.
And I am Reverend Jim.
Welcome to Angel Talk Radio Live. Our show is sponsored by the Living Light Center, a church of faith and healing. For anyone interested, Jim and I do personal readings. And if you'd like to have a personal reading, you can call 304-567-3354 or email sandysangeltalk@aol.com. That's sandysangeltalk@aol.com. Well, welcome everyone to Angel Talk, and we have a special show for you today. We're going to do one on the power of God is within. You know, this is the time we've been waiting for, being receptive and pulling in the essence of God within us. And we are to be co-creators with Him, and it has never been more important than now. So we will share with you the simple ways to bring this power within you forth and to see the manifestation of God in everything you do. So start off here with, you know, want to wish all the people, all the mothers out there, happy Mother's Day today. And we'll begin here now. Some of the Pharisees asked Jesus, "When will the kingdom of God come?" And Jesus answered, "God's kingdom is coming, but not in a way that you'll be able to see with your eyes. People will not say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is,' because God's kingdom is within you." Jesus was telling the Pharisees that he brought the kingdom of God to earth. Jesus' presence in their midst gave them an idea of the kingdom life, as attested by the miracle that Jesus performed. Jesus came to live among us and show us the love of God. And when Jesus left, he said he would send us the Spirit. God has now come to live within us. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is within you." We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we have the mind of Christ. Jesus prayed in John 17 that we would be one with God, just as he and the Father are one. We should be looking deep within ourselves, listening for the voice and guidance of Spirit. You know, when we repent of our sins and are baptized and begin following the lead of the Holy Spirit, we voluntarily place ourselves under the laws and authority of the coming kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit helps us obey God's laws. This Spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind in Timothy 2:1.7 gives us the ability to live by God's laws, even though we are still human with human weaknesses. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are called the sons of God, Romans 8:14. This same Spirit empowers the church to fulfill its commission. And in this sense, we have the opportunity to experience the powers of the age to come in Hebrews 6:4. Now, perhaps in Matthew 6:33, it offers a bit of insight where Jesus proclaims that those who seek the kingdom in God's righteousness will have all of these added unto them, in essence. He seems to imply that life's ultimate treasure, the ultimate truths, are within us. And through our spiritual path and acceptance of that transcendental possibility, that we truly can gain all we need to embrace our divine nature. If God is within, how do we connect to it? The only way is to go with it through meditation and quieting the mind. You see, prayer is talking to God. Meditation is silently listening for his answers. And it helps us embrace our intuition and discern the still, small voice within, rather than looking for guidance outside of ourselves or from a God who is separate from us. Affirmations help us redirect our negative thoughts of lack, of limitation, of separation, of sickness, or whatever, into a higher state and connection with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So prayer, meditation, and affirmations allow us to embrace a vulnerable state of openness to God. And as we listen for this guidance and experience the divine connection to Spirit, these actions can work together to help us see the truth of our divine connection with all life and the God presence. When we quiet our mind and open our consciousness to connecting to the God within, we allow the light of God to connect to us and lift our consciousness to a higher level of understanding. The love of God is always waiting for each of us to connect this higher state of awareness and to allow the guidance of the divine beings to share the wisdom and understanding with each of us. Most times, we do not make the time to quiet our brain enough so that the messages that are intended to reach us can be heard. But when we stop and take even 5 minutes to connect to Spirit and ask that, well, should we be shown and told or given the guidance that we need, it will always be given to us. We choose to come here this lifetime to experience what it is like to be a creator of God. In the process, we had to fall from the higher levels of awareness into a material realm and learn how to grow consciously back to God. Our soul turned away from Spirit and is now facing the ego. The ego will try to control you in every aspect of life. So when our soul was facing Spirit, we were led in the right direction of what we needed to do. But on this physical plane, when the soul turned away from Spirit towards our ego, this is where our challenging journey began. The ego is like a little child, always wanting more and more for self-serving purposes. Our growth in life is to be able to control the desires of the ego and turn back to Spirit. In meditation, when we quiet our mind, the chattering voices in our head begin to stop controlling us. Sometimes this takes a little time and even practice to quiet our brain. But once we can do this, it is like opening a door to connect to another level of intelligence. The mind begins to expand to all levels of awareness, the kingdom of God within us. All of our higher senses become active. Our intuition, our empathic abilities, our kinesthetic abilities, and even more. We open ourselves to a whole new level of life. And at first, it's hard to understand everything. But as you continue to connect to Spirit, more and more is given to you to help you understand more of the big picture. We will never have everything, but as we choose to expand our awareness and live in a loving way, more is given to us. Spirit wants us to grow and understand who we really are and all the abilities that we have. On the ethereal level, the mind is the link to communication to anyone beyond our physical realm, remembering that everything energetically outside of you is also within you. We are one with the all, also as above, so below. If you want to be welcome to the higher levels of consciousness, you have to earn that request. This means that you have to adhere to the laws of God. In the higher realms, there is a pureness of energy, and if anyone was allowed to enter, it could easily taint the pureness. So when we can begin to live a life filled with love and see in each other the godlike aspects, we can change the negativity that exists here on this planet. Maybe not all of it, but a good piece of it. When there are more loving people in the world than evil ones, the energy of the love can have a dominating effect on others. But the reverse is true when evil dominates. We live on a planet that we have to make choices. So you have to ask yourself, will I allow today to be a day filled with goodness and happiness? Or will I let the negative things dominate me? Each day can bring you closer to God, or it can push you further away. It's easy to be angry and dominating, but it takes effort to be pure and follow God's laws and ways. We can be tested at times to see where our faith lies. Will we allow our egos to control us, Can we be vulnerable? Can we trust that by doing the right thing, even if it means paying a price, we will have the courage to do the right thing? If we can, God will be there for us. If we cannot, then we fall out of God's graces, and we have to deal with our own consequences. Growth, power, and spiritual leadership has to be earned before the gifts of spirit is bestowed upon you. For one with too much power and not enough spiritual understanding can be harmful to oneself and others. It does not mean that you will not be given some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but generally only the amount that is felt adequate for you at that time. But as you grow more responsible, generally more is given to you. When we begin to understand how God will share the all-knowing knowledge and wisdom with you, when you start to connect either in quiet times, meditation, or prayer, you will want to keep connecting so that you can learn and explore more and more. The physical level is but one level of understanding. There are so many more levels we can reach if we just try. It's difficult to talk about them if you have never explored or experienced them, but one thing is for sure, the feeling of unconditional love from God is a feeling you do not ever want to let go of. When we look at light and consciousness, we're speaking of the same thing. In Genesis, it says, "Let there be light." In the Kabbalah, the mind of God is described as an ocean of fire, which is pure consciousness, and each person receives a spark from this ocean of fire. The divine spark becomes our immortal spiritual core. We are part of the one universal being. This flame ignites above our head during advanced stages or forms of initiations of spirituality. And this is seen in Christianity, the flames above the heads of the disciples. Every human being then is connected and is part of the Godhead, but in a latent and sleeping form that needs to be awakened. This is a process of illumination, increasing our internal light, which is the external manifestation of divine consciousness itself. We have this slumbering potential because we are a direct emanation of the Godhead, reduced in scale to the microcosmic level, but all of the inherent power of the divine. Many cultures describe the process of going within to connect to our higher spiritual consciousness. Sacred geometry shows images of this happening, the halo above the head. When we are ready in our journey of life to want to expand our consciousness beyond this physical reality, it all starts with centering our minds and going within to connect to a higher spiritual level of awareness. The more we practice this, the stronger it becomes. A lot of hidden secrets have been passed down to those who practice their spiritual abilities. But at this time in life, we all need to learn the importance of growing back to the light of God. And it all starts with quieting the thoughts in your head, going within consciously, and listening or feeling the messages shared with us from Spirit. The more we connect with Spirit and become one with it, the more light our body can take in. And for those who can see clairvoyantly or sense empathically, they will know the level of spiritual awareness you have reached. But this process takes time and it takes effort. And there has to be a faith and understanding that we are one with God. Thank you.
Wow, that was pretty powerful. you know, I want to say that we are blessed by all of the women out there who have born children onto this planet. It was asked of a particular prophet at one point, known as Edgar Cayce, the sleeping prophet, the ARE, entire block in Virginia Beach. And it was based upon 14,000 prophecies that he did. And he was asked once, you know, if we are coming into the time of the return of the Christed light, you know, onto the planet, you know, what are the opportunities and how will we know and how will it come? And he was very clear. He said, every time that a child is born, there is an opportunity for that child to hold the light of Christ within it. And so much has to do with, you know, how we raise our children, you know, how much we allow the schools to indoctrinate our children. You know, there should be a limit. Parents need to be able to keep control of what is being taught to their children. You know, we don't always recognize it. I mean, you know, you walk into a Walmart, you know, there is a sound that is outside the frequency range of adults, but children hear it. And it, you'll find at times that children just go crazy. They scream, they yell. And one would think, well, maybe they just went out of the buggy or they want something that they see as a toy. Typically not. It hurts their ears. But it can also carry, and even though adults can't hear it, it affects their bodies. You know, in the areas of electronics, back to school, cosmetics, those are the areas that are hit the hardest. And this sound, this high frequency pitch, was developed by them, and it's called Mosquito, if you want to look it up. But it actually still has an effect on the human body. Sometimes if I'm in there for more than an hour, when I go out to the car, I have to lift my legs up into the car because, you know, it affects my body that much. Most women I talk to, it depresses them for about 45 minutes to an hour after they leave. You'd be amazed at the amount of cashiers I've talked to who've had nervous breakdowns recently, or they went into deep depressions. And, you know, when I tell them what I know or have researched, you know, it's almost like a light bulb flips on and it's like, oh, that makes perfect sense to a lot of people in here. So, you know, we sometimes do things, you know, and create technologies that we don't really know how they're going to affect us. We think, oh, it's going to take care of that over there. And if it takes care of that, well, it's going to help people. Really? I mean, you know, we should really do the research to find out for sure, because too often it's all about, you know, the almighty dollar. Almighty, isn't that an interesting statement? You know, in God we trust. Oh, gee, it's on our dollar bill. You know, but is it? You know, is it in God we trust when we spend that dollar bill or when it's printed? You know, you have to ask yourself, and which God are they talking about? There are a lot of little gods, but there's only one true God. And the Holy Trinity as one. But, you know, we have to start taking these things into consideration and seeing them. You know, we want a big house. Sometimes we want a house that has five bedrooms, yet there's only just a husband and a wife. Well, the kids may come to visit once in a while. Really? You know, can't one of them sleep on the couch? I mean, is it necessary to build something that we won't possibly pay off in our lifetimes? Or if we do have the cash to spend, I mean, do we need that? I mean, or could it be put to use in building something that will help everyone lift up? Because there are so many people that have lost hope, that they feel like they have been left behind. And if we can't lift them up, then, you know, it can serve to keep us stuck down. We have to be able to lift up those who are willing to receive it. And one of the great laws that were given at creation was that we must receive from God for the purposes of sharing. And if you refuse to share, or if you don't share, and I don't mean the 10% in this collection plate, you know, most don't even do that. I hate to say it, but being a church, we know. And, you know, that 10% is helpful, but, you know, we have a 10,000 square foot building. Can you imagine what it takes just to keep it up? And we take nothing in salary from the church. But, you know, this radio show allows us to reach out and to take the message to greater amounts of people. And that is God. That is a blessing of God and a way for God to be able to gain or get the message out to more and more people. And if only one hears it, speaks it to another, and then to another, and then to another, you know, that's the whole idea. That's the greatest idea. I want to give you what is called a sacred name of God, and it is Kadosh, K-O-D-O-I-S-H, and it is Kadosh. Am I spelling that correctly, Sandy? Is it K-A? Yeah.
K-O.
K-O. K-O-D-I-S-H.
D-O-I-S-H.
Yeah. Kadosh, 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 Adonai, Sabayat. And I'm giving it to you phonetically on those last three words. Because if I spelled it out in its original Greek or Hebrew, you know, it would be difficult to speak it correctly. So I'm giving it to you phonetically, but it is Kadosh, 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 Adonai, Sabayat. And I guarantee you, I have been utilizing that sacred name for 20 years. And when I first, you know, brought it forth, or God gave it to me, you know, in scripture, you know, the words came through too. Many will look up, but they won't notice that the light is being blocked from them. And I thought, well, what does that mean? So I put it in the back of my mind, as I do often. And I thought, when the time comes, you know, I'll know it because I'll pull it forth to put it to use. And one day I walked outside and the sky was crystal blue, except for one small cloud. And it was, you know, way over in the west, and the sun was about midway up in the sky. And I looked up, and all of a sudden, guess what? The cloud started moving and moved right in front of the sun and came back to me with the words, many will look up, but many won't look up, and they won't realize that the light is being blocked from them. And I thought, nah, that little cloud do that, you know? And so I used Kadosh, 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 Adonai Sabayat. Now, the yacht, you know, there are dialects of the Hebrew language. So it can either be yacht or yosi. Either one for that last word. I use yacht, but some use yosi. But it is Kadosh, 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 Adonai Sabayat. And when I said that, the cloud moved away from the sun. And I thought, really? So I waited a little while, and it moved back. And I said, you know, I could use a little bit of, you know, a shade. But, you know, one cloud utilizing the principalities of the air was moving to block my light. And so I used it again. Kadosh, 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 Adonai Sabayat. And the cloud moved again. Now, I did that for about 6 months in different ways before I even told my wife, Sandy, because she doesn't take everything I say at face value. You know, I mean, she wants me to show her where and how I came about. And otherwise, you know, she'll look at me like, oh, come on, where'd you get that from? You know, and so I have to prove it to her just like I do everybody else. And try it. Prove me wrong is what I tell people. Prove me wrong. And if you feel like you're being imposed upon by forces that are not so shiny, or that you need to discern a situation, or you need to make sure that you have divine protection around you, utilize that sacred name, Kadosh, 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 Adonai Sabayat, because, you know, negativity of any kind cannot withstand the vibration or frequency of that sacred name. And again, you know, prove me wrong. In the Physis-Sophia, which are the Coptic Christian texts, it explains, you know, the meanings behind the Kadosh, but it is 2 pages long. I mean, that's how important this is. It has even been said that higher beings of light will use it as a salutation to each other, just to make sure that there's no attempt, you know, to be fooled.
Yeah, and it's translated as holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts.
That's correct. Yeah. That is it's.
But it can be used for many different things. You know, the greetings, the salutation. People can use it for healing work for each other, for blessings to people. There's just many, many uses. It is one of the most powerful firelight energies of one of the 72 sacred names of God.
It's true. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, what organization, what group, you know, is out there. If it's been out there long enough, it is my opinion that seldom, if ever, has there been anything created for good, whether it be a sacred text, humanitarian organization, religious group, variation thereof, that there has not eventually been the attempt by what the angels call the not-so-shiny light to infiltrate that organization, corrupt its purposes, or alter its original message. I mean, this has been going on for a long time. Even if you look at the unions, I have a great respect for unions. Trust me, I do. But they weren't getting anywhere with politicians. So they decided they had enough membership. They started running for office. And once they got into office, they could then set what was allowed and what could benefit the unions, you know, without having to go through all the political red tape. But then again, it was sometimes infiltrated and it was too much. I mean, you know, there are teachers in New York that make over $390,000 a year in retirement because it's based on the last 3 years of their service, and they are unlimited in the amount of overtime they can work. So they just work for the last 3 years, and it changes it all. How long can a city, even the size of New York, continue to operate if they're paying anybody who decides to retire? And trust me, there are a lot of people at retirement age right now, and they can make whatever it was, the accumulation of those last 3 years. And it's averaging right now $396,000. I mean, goodness gracious. I mean, we want to be able to have enough to live on. God will provide that. God has promised us that. And God has never made a promise to me that God has not kept. I can tell you that from my experience. And I walk it. I live it. And that's the whole idea. You know, there were many things that Jesus said that you won't always find people or preachers even that teach about. There's one word that we use a lot of, and that's iota. Not one iota. And if you look into the original Greek, into the Physis-Sophia or the Coptic text, it means I am that I am, or I am God. I do not change. I am the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And it is bringing forth the Holy Spirit. And what is the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit is whole spirit. You know, I was taught that by a friend of mine when I said, well, the Holy Spirit, I believe, is the feminine aspect of God, correct? And he said, yes, but no. He said, it's the divine aspect, or the feminine aspect of the divine God, but she carries the codes of perfect creation. And because she's part of the Trinity, she is able to bring them into the earth plane without getting stuck here like we did, and able to move them through this planet. And when we are able to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we can literally speak them, and it will restore the original light back into creation. Because anything created, if it is not continuously resupplied by the original light of God, it will eventually destructure. That is the law. And that's why you look around you and you see trees falling down and dying, or vegetation dying, or animals going extinct. Because we have, on this planet, begun to, you know, create situations where even the animals can't survive. The growth can't survive. We have changed what we eat and what food is produced in such a way that it is harming the bodies. You know, is it really that difficult to look on the back of the box? And if the ingredients are hundreds, then, you know, one has to question, does it really take hundreds of ingredients to make a muffin? I mean, you know, we have to start seeing it, and not just see it. We are God's creation, and we must stand up for God's creation. It amazes me to see colleges, because they are so involved in the monetary aspects of things, that they allow tent cities to be set up on their lawns. And the tent cities, they've shown 43% of the individuals in those tent cities that are protesting against Israel and for, you know, the others, aren't even college students. I mean, what are we doing? You know, we have what, 8 million? I think it is. Am I correct on that, Sandy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 8 million, you know, illegals that were brought into the country. Now, you can say maybe they weren't illegal if they were flown here by our own governments. Okay. But they're not being kept up the way they were promised. I mean, they're being thrown out of motels now because they didn't build the apartment complexes that they were promised. They don't have the money to eat, you know, because that wasn't given either. Even Israel was promised $149 million to complete, you know, this warlike effort so that it can retake the sacred lands that God gave them. And they've only been given $49 billion out of the $149 they were promised. I mean, you know, and now, you know, our government is not sure it wants to even give it to them. You know, whether you're Christian or not, or whatever religion you are, one must realize that that location on this planet is a very sacred one. It's where the Essenes, you know, took up residence, and they lived by the spirit of the law, not necessarily by the letter of the law, but they were Jewish, and they held to the spirit of the law in such a way that the name Essene itself means expectant. And they expected if they could live in a way that was communal. In other words, they didn't own anything. Everybody owned everything. Whatever was brought in, everybody owned. And so nobody had an attachment to anything that was material on the planet. Yet they all had plenty of food. They had plenty that they needed. And they lived mostly underground, caves and cave-like structures. There were some temples that were on top of the ground, but mostly underground. And, you know, and they had access to shipping, you know, who were actually Essenes. It was even said that the innkeeper awaited the arrival of Joseph and Mary because he was an Essene, and he had saved the manger area for them to be able to stay so that she could have her baby, because it was the only safe place. Can you imagine, even if there was a place to lay down and sleep inside, you know, the hostel, can you imagine what it would be like to have a baby? How safe would it be, especially if the not-so-shiny light recognized the child? So she was in the upper area of the, well, one might call a barn, but in the upper area where the manger was placed, and she was safe there. No one knew nor had access to get in there to be able to harm that child. And let's face it, 2,000 Hebrew children were killed. It says in the scriptures, Rachel cries for her children. And, you know, it shows you that they will go to every extent to keep it from becoming that area where you know, the feet of Jesus will set down again. And that is a sacred location. One of the others is Tibet. You know, many of your ancient masters have come through Tibet and the upper Himalayas. And we see now that it's not even on the maps anymore. And yet, it is one of the sacred places that will hold in place the Earth's crust when we go through some cataclysms. Right now, you know, we are having, headed towards us big time, a X5 class solar flare. Now, they say, well, the last one was 20 years ago. I've been doing this a long time. We've been doing radio shows a long time. And, you know, I don't remember an X5 class. An X-class anything, X-class 1, X-class maybe 1.6, was considered to be, you know, a knockout punch. If it hit straight on, it can get into areas where there are openings in the magnetosphere, and it can move in between the layers of the stratosphere and even some of the jet streams. And it can create a bubble that is 10,000 degrees. And so, when you see fires erupt out of nowhere, and they try to say, oh, well, maybe it happened in that, you know, electrical station over there. And then 6 months later, they tell you, oh, no, well, we've considered that that's not where it started. But they can't tell you where. You know, if any particular particulate matter were to rise in the air and actually interact with something that was 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit, do you think it could create, you know, spontaneous combustion? That you have to ask yourself and do the research. But that is just enormous. And now we have X5 class coming our way. And guess what? Behind it are two more. Now, they won't tell us how big they are. But if they catch up with the other one, or as the other one's hitting, those two hit. Oh, my goodness gracious. We had one, I guess, I don't know, maybe it was 6 months ago or so. And it wasn't even close to this big. But it knocked out the cellular service all along the West Coast.
Yeah. And we have to realize that, you know, when there's coronal mass ejections from the sun, you know, you have a C class, which is your lower, then you have your M class. And then when it gets extreme, you have the X. And then when it gets to the X, they start giving it numbers, X1 or X1.5 or X2 or 3 or, you know, and to get up to an X5.8, you know, that's pretty high, which then the sun also had some geomagnetic storms, and you have the G classes there, and we were hit with a G5, which is extreme. So that's a lot of auroras that you're seeing around, and some of them went clear down into the Florida area.
Absolutely. And we're seeing the jet streams change. Look at the jet streams, and look at the projection of the moon during the last eclipse. It went from the West Coast to the East. And as it kept moving, wherever you were located along that path, you could experience the eclipse. How is that possible? I mean, unless the moon was coming up in the West and setting in the East. I mean, we have to look at some of these things and know we are being given the signs. We were promised them. You will see the signs that tell you that time is near, that the time for us to be able to graduate, so to speak, and be lifted up out of the chaos is coming. God has promised, and just recently, even through a prophecy, that God has promised that he is going to lift people up, you know, because like you, we have also prayed too, that it's very difficult for people to, you know, remain in their spiritualness, you know, if they are in illness, if they're in pain, if, you know, they're being fed medications to dumb them down, you know, and God is going to lift everyone up, and they will have the chance when that occurs, it will lift them up just above the chaos. And in that consciousness, what can't exist is pain or illness or any of that. It'll be like, you know, sluggish worms crawling around below, but that's okay. You won't be in it. It'll lift you up high enough that the pain can't go there. The illness can't go there. And you will have the ability to be able to feel the love of God if you are receptive to it. If that's what you've been wanting and the illnesses and the pain have just been too much, I mean, ask that you be part of that lifting up, and that when you do, that the love of God through the Holy Spirit, through the Father, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, our God and Savior, and the blessed Holy Spirit fill you to overflowing. And what is overflowing? God is not the God of almost. God is not the God of a little. You know, God is the God of overflow. And you'll find it throughout Psalms with King David, but you'll find it throughout the New Testament and all through the Old Testament, the God of overflow. And when God fills you with his love, it overflows. Why? So that you can share it. And if you don't share it, then you become no better than the beings or the angels that fell. Because what caused them to fall was the fact that they became so engulfed in the light that they began to believe that they were, oh, maybe I'm a God. Maybe I'm such a God that I can, you know, do my own creation. And it created a huge issue on the planet. And it created a fall of sorts. And they were cast out of that higher dimension. And you know what? I hate to say it, but many of them are back. And they realize that we are in those days where they don't have much time left. And they are trying everything they can to make sure that we don't get there. They're trying to change the laws. They're trying to change the elections. They're trying to change every possible way they can to remain what they think are, you know, we are gods of our own making. And Christ said, it is finished, to his Father on the cross. And it was finished. But that doesn't mean that if we make mistakes, we can ask for forgiveness. But we still have to face that mistake. So if anybody out there thinks that there may be something that they have missed along the way, ask in prayer that it be shown to you. And when you see it, ask the angels, ask the Holy Trinity, ask Christ to take it away, and that you be forgiven, but to take it away from you so that you don't have to keep facing issues that seem to crop up in front of you all the time. And use the Kadosh, 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 Adonai Sabaoth, and those things will flee. You know?
Absolutely. You know, and when we go within ourselves and we connect to that spark of light of God, that oneness that we have with God, we can draw more and more of that light into us when we are one with God. And if we share it with others, more will flow into us. It is endless how much can come into you. But if you hold it for just your own self, you're limited. But if you keep the energies moving and sharing it, it is abundant and constantly flowing.
And it's interesting, when the Hebrews were brought to the planet, or created on the planet, they were given a bit of higher consciousness of light to hold, but they were held responsible for it. You get nothing for free. They were held responsible to hold that light, and every chance that there could be, you will find throughout the Old Testament, in some places there is the word Lord with a lowercase L, and it is Bel or Belial that is the one who always comes behind God. God blesses the Hebrews and makes a covenant with them. And the very next day, here comes, you know, the little L Lord, and he promises them that he will give them extra crops and higher, you know, higher prosperity, and they will have bigger houses. But all he can promise is material. He can't promise them a greater consciousness. He can't promise them that they will be more knowing. He can't promise them wisdom. Only God can do that. And when we hold on to the material, we are holding on so tightly sometimes that we can't be lifted up, because what we hold on to in the material doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the other side. There is spirit and there is the material. And the material is given to us for use, but not to hold on to forever. And so you have to be willing to let it go if it's necessary. Let go of it and ask that when the time comes that the doors are open and you can be lifted up, that nothing that is material holds you back. When the young man came to Jesus and said, I want to follow you, Jesus said, go and sell everything you own. And this has been misinterpreted too often by many preachers, and God bless them, but pray on it. I ask the ministers and preach it in your services that the young man came back and did become a follower of Jesus, and he was martyred. But he didn't tell him to go sell everything you own and give all your money away. What he wanted him to do was to not be tied down by anything material. This young man was very wealthy. He had many houses, many servants, many, you know, animals, I mean, lands. And more than likely, at every turn, there would have been somebody with a message coming to him saying, you've got to come quickly. This is happening. You've got to come quickly. That is happening. And it would have been a constant thing. Why? To be able to take, you know, and distract him from being able to be that follower of, you know, the Christ, the Redeemer, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Redeemer of Redeemers. And so what God was telling him was what he's telling all of us, that don't hold on to what is material that could hold you back. That you could say, well, maybe I could just take this with me, stick it in my pocket. Yeah, well, the Israelites were told the same thing, or the Hebrews, as they went through the Exodus. When they were hungry, God provided them with manna. But Moses told them, he said, the only thing is, every morning when you wake up, there will be so much manna that you can't possibly eat it all. It will bring you to fulfilling to the point of overflow. Overflow. And he said, but you just can't keep it. Well, do you think that worked? Of all the miracles they had seen, the rock, splitting of the rock and the water pouring forth, the Red Sea splitting, you know, being let go from Pharaoh's courts. I mean, and all of the other miracles when they cried for meat, quails, 1.5 million, it is estimated, quails landed in there at their feet with the tents or the ropes being placed up, the nets to catch them, and it caught them. 1.5 million quail. I mean, they had flown off course for some reason. Nobody can explain that. And you never will. When God's involved, you know, you can't find a material explanation necessarily for it. You can see the manifestation, and you have to know that if it's a material manifestation like that, and it's just not, you know, normal, that God's involved. And too often do we take the credit? It was once asked of an individual whose name is Edgar Casey, who was known in Virginia Beach as the Sleeping Prophet. What book or ancient text or sacred writing would be recommended for study in seeking one's spiritual path? His answer was that it was not as important which book or writing was chosen for study, as it was to apply it in one's daily life, whatever the choice may be. He was giving us the ability to find our path to God personally. And he did not recommend the Bible. He had read the Bible every day of his life until he passed, all the way through. Every year. Once a year, for every year he lived, he read the Bible from cover to cover. So it tells you how important scriptures were to him. And the scriptures are within us. Doesn't matter if a piece has been changed, a piece has been moved, an interpretation has changed. Doesn't matter. Read it. And and ponder it. Ponder is a very important word. Ponder it. And God will bring out into your consciousness the truth of what it is, because that's where he hid it. The perfect place. And you have brought it into this lifetime for just this perfect reason. His answer was a simple one. Human nature is to interpret what we hear, what we read, and what we see to fit our own perception of truth. When one applies in their daily living what we would consider our truth for the purpose of spiritual ideal, it will always soon manifest itself for good or for woe. Though always application was the key. It is my opinion that seldom, if ever, there has been anything created for good. Doesn't matter if it's a sacred text, humanitarian organization, a religious group, or variation thereof, that there has not eventually been the attempt by that not-so-shiny light to infiltrate the organization, corrupt its purpose, or alter its original message. If you remember the Exodus, the sons of Korah, they created so much distraction that it wasn't wanted, but they pushed it so far that one day they stood up against Moses and the people behind Moses, and they were going to try and overthrow, you know, his authority, and the ground opened up and it swallowed all of the sons of Korah. We don't want to ever have to worry about that type of an issue occurring. Goodness gracious, let us reach up into the heavens and ask for that light to fill us and speak it. Breathe it in through the nostrils, because that's the way God created us. He breathed through the nostrils of man, and man became a living soul. And so breathe it in through the nose and speak it out through the mouth, and ask that it be through the Holy Trinity and the Holy Spirit, guide the words, and it will have an effect. It has to. You know, fascinating evidence has recently become known that the Bible actually contains many hidden codes. And these are available to those who walk the walk. You know, the problem with Solomon, he received more wisdom than anybody had ever had on the earth, nor will ever have on the earth as a human being, so it says in the scriptures, and yet he fell. Before he passed, he fell. Why? With that much wisdom, how could you fall? Because it was given to him as a gift, and he didn't have to walk all of the knowledge, you know, and apply it so that he could receive the wisdom, and the wisdom applied so that you could have the understanding. You know, to be given something as a gift is great, but walk it. Walk the pieces you know you need to walk. Look at the book of Acts. It'll tell you exactly what Jesus walked. And we ourselves must walk, the same way as it was done then. It's interesting that most who have come in at this particular time are here to bring in the changes. And many carry the swords of the Archangel Michael. If you're here for truth, integrity, and justice, then trust me, you have been given a sword. And you cannot turn that sword back. You cannot give it back. You know, it's funny, because I've read in some of, you know, scriptural interpretations where people have tried to throw the sword away, throw it in the water, throw it away, stick it in a rock. But you know what? It always seems to just come flying back at you, right into your hand. Because once you make that commitment, it is yours. And you must walk that path. But why not? You know, if you carry that sword, you have legions of angels that are there to help you utilize it. And it's not a sword that you can just take out and just slice people off at the knees. That's not what the sword is. The sword allows for a purification, number one. And so if you believe that you stand for integrity or truth and justice, then ask, you know, Archangel Michael to take your sword and purify it with his. Take away the nicks, you know, the scars, whatever it may be on it, and ask that it be purified and restored to its original, you know, activation. And you will find that it has power beyond power. Use it wisely is the only thing I would say. Use it very wisely. And the idea is that when it was given to us at the beginning of our place here on earth, we came in to hold that truth. Look around you. How much of it do you see? How many things are out of kilter? How many things are out of, are into corruption? How many things are dying away? How many things are being destroyed right before our very eyes? I mean, the lies have gotten so big, you know, that, and we still sometimes can't see them. It's been said that the bigger the lie, the more it sounds like the truth. I no longer believe that. And if you are carrying the sword, just hold it up and ask that the truth be shown to you, the truth. And just as they were when it was given to us in the beginning of our earthly life, then Michael lovingly hands us back that sword renewed. For the time has come for us to rise up into our full empowerment, not in order to join a into a battle currently playing out upon this planet, and also in the upper heavens. Don't think that there's not one up there, as above, so below. But rather that we may rise victorious as one of the vast legions of light into the realms beyond the battles of duality. Okay. The idea is, you know, use the Kadosh, 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 Adonai Sabayat. If you have questions or you would like to have a prophecy on where you are on your path or where you're going or what God has in store for you, and trust me, if you're on the planet, you have a purpose. Give us a call at 1-800-860-6605, or you can email to Sandy's with an S, angeltalk@aol.com. And we would love to be able to hear from you.
Yes, absolutely. And always remember, connecting with the God within brings you to a oneness and a pureness with the light and love of all of the divine beings. And always, always try as much as you can to do that as often as possible. Thank you for joining us, and God bless.